You are listening to the Element Style Lessons in Gaming PlayStation Podcast, where your news is raw, uncut, uncensored, and the world of opinionated fanboys is severely shot down. So do enjoy the show.
Oh my god, how can your console be better than mine? Your console doesn't even have games. I do not like that game because it's on your console. Blah.
Welcome to Lessons in Gaming PlayStation Podcast, Episode 2. I'm your host, Element Style, and with me today is a very special guest. You may know from the illustrious GamePro forums, and due to NDA, I cannot mention what he is involved with, but he is a designer on a video game that you guys might be interested in the near future. His name is FlipLike9. Say hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem, man. I've been looking forward to this. First on the agenda I wanted to talk about today is the new Xbox 360 and PS3 multi-platform game, Metal Gear Solid Rising, starring Raiden. What are your thoughts on that announcement?
I thought it was pretty shocking. It's shocking in a sense that, not shocking that Microsoft would bring out somebody that's like Hideo Kojima, another surprise that they would steal another exclusive, but exclusives these days are dead, and but to the game, we haven't really seen anything in that game, so just the fact that Kojima and Kojima Productions is working on that game, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like, I wish there was a little bit more to be seen, but not. I'm kind of imagining like a hack and slash game. I don't know what kind of tactical espionage it would be, like a sneaking kind of game. It's not Snake, it's Raiden. Goes around kind of and does breakdancing and kicking butt.
I'm kind of picturing like a Devil May Cry sort of aspect to this.
Do you think Kojima would create a game like that? I mean, he is doing well, the Castlevania.
The unofficial moniker on the subtitle is Lightning Bolt Action, and Hideo Kojima is not producing and designing this game.
Oh.
He is... He's overseeing the project. One of his apprentices or subordinates are actually helming the project, which is what I wanted to talk about. They brought out Hideo Kojima at the press conference. It was in the middle of actually the segment where they claimed every game they would see from then would be an Xbox exclusive, and you would only see it only on Xbox. And Jeff Keighley from Game Trailers interviewed John Shepard of Microsoft. He said, well, we never said it was an exclusive. We just said it was finally coming to the Xbox 360. Well, I wanted to know how big of an impact that is to PS3. It's not a Kojima game in a sense where he's fully designing it, but they still lose that Metal Gear Solid game on their next-gen console.
Hey, you mean integrity-wise, or just because Kojima's not directly on it, it's not going to be a Kojima, 100% Kojima kind of game. I do know he has his proteges, and I'm sure, like, you know, whatever they produce, it'll be spectacular.
Well, I just mean, like, basically, you know, Metal Gear Solid, the name itself has grown on the PlayStation. It started on the PS1, and PS2, and then in the PS3, and then we're going to have, I guess it's not a direct sequel, but we're going to have a solid game.
It's a sellable franchise. Metal Gear Solid is popular, true, especially in Japan, and fans will eat it up like ice cream pudding and whatever.
So, in accordance to that, we're going to go into the PSP Go. Talking about Kojima still is Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Now, this is the game that he's fully producing and designing. and he said it was the true sequel to Snake Eater. And I know that was one of your favorite games. So
oh, I love
about
Snake
that?
Eater. I mean, Snake Eater, just the things that were involved in that game, where you had to survive in the jungle, and you were all by yourself, you really didn't have any help. It was still one of those tactical espionage kinds of games, but it was completely different because some of the missions you'd have to wait out and see how things go, and there was time in there, and you know, you could run out of time, or you could just go in there and blast away. But like, the game itself was awesome, and at first when I played it, I thought it was Snake, but it's actually Big Boss, and like, I didn't realize that until like middle of the game. It was like, this isn't Snake. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
When did Snake lose an eye? I was just confused.
A lot of the mythology behind Metal Gear Solid is very convoluted, and it takes a while to grasp it. But would that make you go out and buy a PSP Go?
At the current price that they're selling it, no.
Yeah, $249 against $149, the PSP 3000.
Is that only going to come out on the PSP Go, or is it going to be also available in the old version?
They're going to still support the PSP 3000, so I believe there's going to be a UMD release and digital distribution, just because they can't abandon the retailers just yet. Another franchise coming to the PSP is Gran Turismo. 800 cars, 35 tracks on the small PSP.
Crazy. All I have to say is crazy. I would never imagine them involving the NASCAR or the Grand Prix circuits in there, but it looks like they are.
Yeah, just following the announcement of that, it kind of shed some light on how or why Gran Turismo 5 has taken some time to maybe complete its development cycle.
I'm not even... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm not even like a car junkie like yourself. I know you're into cars and all those parts and stuff like that, but if I were in the market to purchase a new car, Gran Turismo is the flagship title that I would go and buy and learn more about the car that I'm interested in, and just learn about how to customize it and how to upgrade it and just learn all the specs about it and make sure that what I'm buying is top of the line. And
so would you buy a PSP now to play Peace Walker, to play Gran Turismo, and Little Big Planet's coming to PSP?
I'm not very big on handheld. I like the DS. You know, I'll play that for hours in the bathroom. But
not really portable gaming, just
not. I mean,
just handheld gaming.
Okay, well, I mean, not really. I don't think I would. I'll wait for Gran Turismo 5 for the PS3, and I'll play that. I'll wait for another Metal Gear game for the PS3. The PSP Go is just a little too expensive, right? I mean, it's like half the price of a PS3. And, I don't think that's gonna sell very well in this economy.
One of the biggest shockers, actually, that was at the E3 press conference, everybody was raving, was the Hannah Montana bundle.
I think you're excited about that release.
Oh, man. Am I ever. Joking aside, we're going to move on to the PlayStation 3 exclusive lineup. And what I wanted to do for this episode is actually do a live review of Killzone 2, which is the most recent exclusive top hardware seller for PS3. What did you think of the game?
Oh my god, the game is incredible. I mean, just the attention to detail, the production value, just the immersion. As soon as you boot it up, you just feel like you're in there, and I've never experienced that before. I think the closest thing that I can compare that experience to is when I first got a taste of next-gen gaming, which was Gears of War when it was out on the Xbox 360.
Right.
Before that, I was just still playing the PS2, finishing up God of War and God of War 2, and then Final Fantasy 12, I believe, and then I saw the commercials. I mean, that commercial was just so impactful. And you remember the song? It's like that Donnie Darko song that came on.
Oh yeah.
As soon as I saw that commercial, I was like, I want that game. So when I got that game, I launched it, and I was just like blown away. But like, it's not as close to what happened to me when I launched Killzone 2. It was just unbelievable. Like, I couldn't put it down. I have to be honest with you, the control scheme was a little iffy to me. I mean, yeah, it had a learning curve, but once you get used to it, it kicks ass. It kicks major ass.
Have you played it since the patch? They patched it. They patched it where the controls would be more tighter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I did play that, and I tested it out on online battles and stuff like that. It's a lot tighter. It's definitely better, and I think it'll please the hardcore gamers. I know there was a lot of complaints out there about the controls, but I kind of like the old controls. I mean, it's kind of more realistic.
Yeah, weight to them.
I mean, if I wanted, I could just turn that off and put on Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and just blast away with that.
Speaking of which, how does that compare? How does it compare to Call of Duty Modern Warfare?
I think gameplay overall and story, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is still my number one first-person shooter game.
Right.
I will play that any day. But in terms of production value, graphically, I would say Killzone 2 takes the nod in that one. The story on Killzone 2 was kind of like, it was okay, it was war, and you get to the beginning to the end, but the total immersion, the graphics, and just how it makes you more involved, and plus the intelligent factor you put in on the enemies. I mean, they can flank you from anywhere. You can't use the same tactic to knock down a turret and take out another battalion. You have to, like, think at all times.
So the AI in Killzone 2 compared to Modern Warfare,
dude,
is that a step up?
Oh, if you put that AI intelligence into Call of Duty franchise, it would be just like the bomb-ass game ever. But if you put the storytelling in Modern Warfare into Killzone 2, and maybe the control scheme, I don't know. I mean, I'm just happy to play both games. I would put Call of Duty number one, Killzone 2 number two. No offense to the PS3 fans out
there.
Hey,
no. This is a PlayStation podcast, but we don't preach. We only discuss PlayStation. We don't preach anything. So 1 to 10, Killzone 2.
I would give it a 9.5. 9.4-ish. 9.5.
Okay.
9. And I would just give Call of Duty Modern Warfare 9.7. Because it's not perfect. I don't think any game out there is perfect.
No, no game is worth it. Yeah. I mean, no game is actually a perfect 10.
Right.
Because there's
isn't much of a difference between a 9.4, 9.5 versus a 9.7. Right? I mean, they're both spectacular games.
It's just a hair. So there you have it, guys. I mean, a 9.5 Killzone 2, that's the official Lessons in Gaming PlayStation Podcast review score for it. And moving on, we're going to now discuss Naughty Dog's second entry into PS3 territory, Uncharted 2.
So, they have beaten you, huh? Your quest is over? What if it's only beginning? Some of the most fearsome rulers through history have possessed only a fragment of the Chintamani stone. What would a man become if he possessed the stone itself?
Where did you find this guy?
Lazarevich paid top dollar for Marco Polo's journals. He's been after the Chintamani stone for years.
You're competing with a psychopathic war criminal for a mythological gemstone?
I'm sensing some history here.
Elena Fisher, last year's model.
We're gonna snatch that treasure right out from under them.
They'll never see it coming.
Yeah, well, payback's a bitch.
So, what's your angle on all this misery?
Gonna get us all killed!
My friend, where did you find this?
You mind telling me what the hell is going on?
I miss the look on your face.
I know where the stone is.
Pray that he is not bluffing.
It's time to tip the odds. Back in our favor.
Sweep the city, fight.
All right, so Uncharted 2, the latest entry from Naughty Dog, going into the PS3. How far do you think Naughty Dog has come?
All I have to say is amazing. I'm just so excited about this game. I can't believe how the graphics and the production value is just escalated up to this point. I'm even more excited about the games that are going to come out in the future. I mean, you see the gap in graphics and production value now coming out on the exclusives, especially in the exclusives. I can't wait. It just seems like it's getting better and better and better. But of course, that's another topic. We could talk about the 360 and how it's peaked, but let's leave that in another discussion. But speaking about Uncharted 2, when I saw that in the conference, I was just like blown away. I put that on the top, Uncharted 2, God of War 3, even though I'm a God of War guy.
I really think they should have ended with Uncharted 2 and then God of War 3.
I agree. I mean, I am a God of War guy, and it was cool that they ended with God of War 3. I can't wait for that game to come out either, but Uncharted 2, just the way they displayed it and like how it played, everything that was happening, like things were moving, exploding, people are dying, you're shooting, you're running, you're jumping, you're climbing onto these things, and that scene where you're like you're shimmying across a building and a big Black Hawk helicopter, I don't know what kind of helicopter that is, but when it came and started shooting at you, I was just like, oh, this is
Apache, probably.
This is what I had dreamed when I was 12 years old games would be. I didn't really dream it, but I mean, I'm sure.
Photorealism and just basically you're playing a movie. Just like it started with Metal Gear Solid 4, and I know a lot of people have qualms about it being just a movie. You're watching cutscenes most of the time, but in a sense, it has that connection value, and I think a lot of the charm from Uncharted 2 comes from its voice actor, Nolan North. We saw a lot of that in the trailer we just played. That guy, he's...
Where did you find this guy?
He's, in my opinion, pretty much, he's the 2009-2010 version of Indiana Jones.
Right.
He's like the Indiana Jones without a whip, but he's got these funny moments where... And throughout the game, he just comes across that he doesn't know exactly what to do. Even though while you're playing him, you really don't know exactly what to do. You're just kind of like improvising it the whole time, and then all these cutscenes come in, and it's just hilarious. It's funny. I think it's a blast.
Yeah, the technique they use is basically they put him on a treadmill every time a segment of him running was being played, and he would, you know, he would ad-lib. And
while he was running on a treadmill.
Yes, he would ad-lib. And
so that's,
you know,
the techniques that they're going to right now.
Well, that's part of the charm. I mean, a lot of what he says during the gameplay is actually, like, when I was playing Uncharted, everything he was like quipping about on the side, it's exactly what I was thinking when I was playing it. Like, whoa, this guy, he's saying exactly what I'm thinking. Like, when you're watching the gameplay footage, and then you see that car through the wall, like, well, what the hell is it doing here? And then he says, nice parking job. Like, that was just crazy.
No, I mean, like, I know what you mean. When there's, like, all this chaos going on, you know exactly what he's going through. It's not like he's this unreal model of, like, this huge muscular soldier or something like that. With, like, 500 different muscles in one arm or something, shooting this ridiculously 1,000-pound gun, like, running around with it and doing all these somersaults and whatnot. But the chaos that's happening, you feel it, and then when it's over, there's this huge sigh of relief, and he portrays that in the game, and you connect with that character, and I think Uncharted is going to be one of the best franchises that's ever come out in gaming history.
Multiplayer. What do you think? Is it just a gimmicky add-on, or is it something that's valuable to their latest game?
Well, video games these days need to have that lasting appeal, you know, that replay value. So the trend seems to be going towards adding a multiplayer dimension into them, and fans want it, and there's a high demand for it, and I'm all for it as well. I mean, it looks like, from what they demoed from the conference, it looks amazing. I mean, what I can see from it, that you have different characters to choose from, and,
right,
but it's basically the same actions. I mean, it looks pretty cool. I mean, the graphics are intact, and the big maps, I'm pretty sure it should be fun.
I think a lot of their online modes mirror that of Metal Gear Online, where they have a couple of modes where you play as Nathan Drake and the main characters, and then the other side of the spectrum is the bad guys. I think that's one of the adversarial modes. But they also have co-op.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be
great. That's gonna be crazy.
You know, one of the greatest games that came out this year was Left 4 Dead, and the co-op factor for that game was amazing. I mean, not only you weren't scared by yourself, but the people you were playing with were scared too, because if you can hear them on the other side, they would freak out with you, and I think that's really important with co-op. And, you know, you and I played Resident Evil co-op, and that was great.
It started with that, yeah. There's a lot of games that are just coming out co-op, and then if they can squeeze it in, those versus modes and stuff like that, the deathmatch. Speaking of multiplayer, we're going on to our next title, MAG. 256 players.
You know, there's a lot of skeptics out there with this game. I mean, when I was watching a conference while I was at work, and some of my buddies there, I was telling them about it, and they were like, come on, dude, like 256 players online game, that's impossible. And, you know, I really didn't have anything to back that up, that it would happen, because I don't know if it's going to happen. They did demo it live with 256 players playing at the same time, so I really hope it's a success, because, you know, it'd be really interesting to see how you play into these little battalions with one sole mission, basically reaching the center of your mission, right?
And I'm trying to figure out, when you're a commander, if all you do for gameplay sake is to just a map, it becomes RTS,
right?
So you're playing a first-person shooter, you're getting experience points, you get promoted, you become a commander, suddenly you're brought into an RTS mode, and you got the whole map, and you're pointing out, you're selecting your soldiers.
Oh yeah, that might be cool.
You're selecting your soldiers, your attacking points, and then those orders are relayed down to the actual people who are still ground infantrymen.
Yeah.
And they're like, go attack this, stuff like that, you know? I think that's how the commanders are going to play out. But, you know, I can't be too sure. We haven't seen anything from the commander's point of view. We only saw demos of the ground people, but that would be sick.
You know, the one thing that I'm going to be bummed is that there's going to be a bunch of Rambos out there just doing their own thing. I mean, I can be a Rambo sometimes, you know.
Warhawk.
Yeah, I mean, but this game seems to have a chain of command, and I don't know, people are probably just going to go on there and go off and venture off by themselves and just, like, try to get the highest score in a game, just like Call of Duty. It would be interesting to see what kind of players get online and actually follow that chain of command, follow the mission, and try to immerse themselves into that environment.
Yeah, I think a lot of what they're trying to do to remedy that is, whenever you do follow orders, you get a lot more experience points for every action that you do. So it's not like you would get 10 or 15 XP for every kill, but you would be following orders, get maybe 200 or 300 for an objective.
Right, right.
So that would be pretty
cool.
So, the biggest shocker, how they ended their press conference, God of War 3.
Woohoo! So, like I said, I would put Uncharted 2 in the top and then God of War 3, but since we're speaking about God of War 3, I mean,
that's only because, you know, Uncharted 2 is coming out sooner.
Maybe. That might have something to do with it. It is coming out this year, right?
Yeah, it's coming out in the holidays, fall 2009.
Dude, when you saw that, you saw Helios's head get ripped off. I mean, it's clearly for the mature audience, and there's just twice the amount of blood.
It's always been about the mature
body
audience.
Parts are gonna fly everywhere.
Sex minigames.
Oh, the sex minigames were awesome. I loved it. I was like, oh, how many times can I do this? And these girls are in the bathtubs, and I can just go in and waste time.
You know, a lot of people just played that game and called it a day.
No, I mean, I can't wait to see what it will look like on the PS3. I've already seen how Killzone is going to be in terms of production value. Mm-hmm. Uncharted, Infamous, even. I mean, that's an open world game exclusively, and it looks, I mean, the graphics you can see versus Prototype or versus Grand Theft Auto, the graphics are better. You can see the horizon line is farther away.
Draw distance,
and all that stuff. I just can't wait to see what it would look like that with that kind of massive, chaotic thing that's happening in God of War franchise. I mean, now it's on to the next gen. We see giants, the titans are alive, and they're, oh, it's gonna be crazy.
It's almost,
I mean,
reminiscent,
I don't know,
of Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, it would be like, I can't even explain what I'm
because
say.
You're excited about the transference to 1080p, because, you know, when you're watching this stuff direct feed off of game trailers or GameSpot or IGN,
right,
and then you watch this stuff when it's fully rendered in real time in front of your face in HD resolution, that shit translates really well.
I'm gonna have to blame Sony. I'm gonna blame Sony. I don't like you guys anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you guys are spoiling me. You're coming out with these crazy graphics right now, and, like, you know, I love my 360, but like the exclusive games that you're coming out, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You guys are just pushing the graphics to a whole new level, and the games are gonna get better. And I hate you for it. You're spoiling the shit out of me.
I don't want to make any of the developers mad, but it's them. It's, you know, when you got a piece of hardware that's like, and you see a freaking loophole in the corner, like, wait a minute, if we do that, maybe the game will look better. And then they do that, it fucking looks 10 times better. You know, when they're finding that new shit in the hardware of the PS3, it's undoubtedly, when the mystery's there, the end result is much bigger.
You know what? Spoil me. Spoil me. I want to get spoiled. And I'm sure the games are going to get better. I mean, I don't know. When Final Fantasy comes out, Final Fantasy 13 comes out, it's going to be crazy. And I hope that it does not get downgraded to what multi-platform games look like these days.
Well, we know it's being developed for PS3 first in Japan, so we know it's the lead platform. It's being developed for the PS3 technology.
It'll be interesting to see how that's going to look since the PS3 is the lead platform. It'll be interesting to kind of compare screens.
And right, put in disc 1 and start new game and then insert disc 2.
Because if...
Multi-kill!
I don't think most people care about that. I mean, if it's necessary, it'll be 6 discs. I mean, we played Final Fantasy VII, and that was 6 discs, right?
Right.
And I mean, that didn't bother us at all. So I don't think it's a big deal.
No, that was just a little humor set there. What I do want to talk about is the last exclusive of the agenda is Gran Turismo, and it's currently at war with Turn 10's Forza Motorsport 3. And Turn 10 went on record at the press conference saying Forza 3 will be the best racing simulator and will have the most content to offer on any console when it comes in October. Now, normally it would be okay for a developer to hype up his own game, say we have a good game, when they're not going to come out and say it sucks. But to go on and say that they have the most content to offer on any console, not just the 360, but the PS3, up against Gran Turismo 5. What's your take on that?
No contest. Polyphony Digital's Gran Turismo is a proven franchise. It's gonna sell. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people went and bought Prologue, and it's not even a complete game. It's a demo sold
full retail price, 5 million units.
But it didn't even feel like a demo. Felt like a complete game.
Yeah.
But it was like kind of, wow, like all these people bought Prologue, and it's not even G5, you know, it's not even GT5. But all you have to really see or research a little bit or look at is how the professionals feel about these simulators. Mm-hmm. And if the professional drivers out there, whether it's NASCAR, Rally Art, or whatever, are studying the tracks especially and doing the simulation using Gran Turismo, then you know, that's really all the proof that you need, you know? I mean, of course Turn 10 is going to hype up their game, they're going to think it's the best simulator out there, but, you know, that's yet to be proven, so... But, you know, you can't, there's no contest.
Yeah, I think the best way to put it is, I believe, one of the circuit racers, he was doing simulations on Gran Turismo Prologue, and he was racing the Nürburgring circuit in Germany. And he did practice runs in Prologue, not necessarily Gran Turismo 4, not even Gran Turismo, an early access copy of 5. He did that on Prologue. And he went to the real Nürburgring, and he was able to shave off maybe 3-4 seconds off his lap time. He's like, wow, this is so freaking accurate, down to the freaking barricades on the side of the track.
Right, right.
So I...
So he studied. He studied the game because the tracks were so accurate that he actually improved his time.
Mm-hmm.
Even something like that. That's you know.
Well, that's just one racer. There's a lot of racers out there in the articles, you know, claiming it's more than just a game. It's a driving game.
I mean, I'm not even a car enthusiast, but if you want to buy a new car, I would totally study what Gran Turismo has to offer. You know, I'll go take a look at that car, see how it expands, upgrade, all this stuff, the specs and whatnot, because they're
You know what they're talking about doing? Kazunori Yamauchi said one of the features they're looking for is to actually... Now, I know a lot of people will probably have problems with this at first, but they're looking to introduce microtransactions, and what that would be is you would go shopping for the parts for your car. You'd go to actual manufacturers, like aftermarket companies.
That would work.
Like you'd go to Gritty, you'd go to HKS, you'd go to Enki and get your wheels there. You'd go to Brembo, get your brakes there.
In the game, you're not talking about actually buying it for yourself.
No, there would be an explorer in the game. Obviously, they didn't really go into greater detail, but you would actually go to these manufacturers and they'd have a partnership with them, and you'd spend maybe 99 cents, $1.99 on brakes. And you would download that into the game, and it would have a real different impact than just upgrading with, you know. I know it's kind of sketchy at first, spending real money on parts.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna go with the fans, but I'm sure it's gonna go well with the hardcore.
It's a good concept at first. It's a good concept.
Yeah, they might want to think about that. I don't know if I was playing the game, I would actually do that. I mean, well, is that an option, or is that a feature, or?
It's a feature they're looking into implementing, because I know a lot of car enthusiasts would actually love the idea of just going in and shopping around for
right.
parts.
Right.
Because I know a lot of, in Gran Turismo 4, when you're tuning up a car, you go into the tune shop, you go into the garage, you say upgrade, and it gives you the next upgrade. You go level 1, level 2, level 3. You don't necessarily go in to a shop and look at a Gritty exhaust system and an HKS exhaust system to see which one is actually better. See, that's the thing that they're looking into. These parts, they're not level 1, 2, and 3 upgrades anymore.
Right.
If you're a car enthusiast, you're gonna go into these shops, you're gonna be looking at the numbers, they're gonna be looking at the specs that they provide, and they're gonna provide a real world difference, and it's not necessarily gonna be better, a day and night difference. It's just gonna be what works for your car.
I mean, that's what I like about Gran Turismo. It's not only a really good simulator, it's a great game, but it's also educational. So,
it puts you in the life.
Maybe when this full game comes out, I'll know more about cars than you.
hardly. Okay, so this next segment I want to introduce to Lessons in Gaming is basically kind of like a lightning round. I'm going to ask several questions about third-party exclusives and third-party multi-platform games, and just get your take flip on what you feel at first impression, what comes up on your mind first. So,
okay,
the first game, Quantum, PS3 exclusive by Tecmo. It's a Gears of War clone, Gears of War killer.
Both. It's a Gears of War clone, and it's a Gears of War killer. Because from what I see from the trailers, it's just bigger, badass. It seemed like it was what Gears of War 2 was meant to do.
Right.
Was to give that badass, like, big, epic kind of thing. And I love Gears of War, but Gears of War 2, I didn't get that big, epic feeling. It felt like Gears of War 1.5. You know, if Cliffy B produced that for the PS3, and I mean, I'm not gonna bash Gears of War right now, but if that happened on the PS3, you would get Gears of War 2. I think it's both. I think it's a clone, but it's gonna be bigger and better.
Okay. Modern Warfare 2. Another Modern Warfare, or is it really a step up from Modern Warfare into 2?
I don't know, and I don't care. I just want another Call of Duty game to come out so I can go on there and kick some ass.
Okay, I guess that says that. BioShock 2. Will the success of BioShock continue? Will it translate better as a multi-platform, or should it have stayed an exclusive?
I think it will benefit to it, because the game is a really good game. It has a great story, and everyone deserves to play great games. One thing for sure is that we won't get fanboy flame wars in the forums, that it's only for 360 and hoorah and stuff like that. So I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, especially the fanboys who, at first, they said BioShock was a really great game, and when it came out for the PS3, they said it sucked. And
I didn't
so
mean any of that.
When BioShock 2 comes out for both, Are they going to be true gamers and play the game, or be like, the fuck?
It sucks now.
Well, for me, someone who owns those consoles, I have the 360, the PS3, I'm going to get it for the PS3 because my preference, I think, is what's happening these days, especially the leap in graphics. I think I'm going to try to see if it's better on that. Mm-hmm. But I did play the first one on the 360, and it was great. I'm not even going to mention that game itself caused my red ring of death on my Xbox. And when I was so excited, and when I launched it, and it was like, I see these red things happening, and I was like so pissed. But eventually I got it back. Eventually I got it back, and I got to play it. And it was just, that game was just sitting in my in my entertainment center like for like a month and a half before I got the console back. So. Strike one.
Alright, next game, Rockstar North's Agent. Just another GTA 4 with a different name, or a different game exclusively for the PS3?
I think a lot of the sandbox games that are going to come out in the future is going to be compared greatly to Grand Theft Auto. You know, mm-hmm. You can't escape it. I'm just hoping that it's going to be bigger and better in graphics. That's it.
Well, the reason I ask is because they are the developers of the GTA 4.
And you know what? Rockstar's Agent, I thought that was supposed to be LA Noir. Have you ever seen those that site?
I saw earlier reports about it. I'm not sure
because
if
this
that
does
was just
take place in the 1950s or something.
I think
like
it
that.
Is
somewhere.
It is
there.
Supposed to be set in LA,
right?
But I think earlier reports that it was just Project LA Noir. I think it was. I don't think it was the retail market name.
So this is LA Noir. I think it
I believe
Noir.
It's the same project. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that case, dude, that's gonna be awesome. I mean, I was on that site for quite a few times and just watching the trailers that they put up there. I was just excited about it.
All right. So I just wanted to cover a few points that were missing from the press conference. Get a little insight. Why didn't Square Enix show Versus 13?
Because I think they're waiting for the Tokyo Game Show.
True.
I think they're waiting. I mean, Square is a Japanese company. They're gonna announce the big announcements in their home territory.
Right.
And so when that happens, I'm sure they're gonna have a lot more games to announce when that comes.
All right. That's good enough. Fair enough. PS3 price drop. Everyone was looking for it. Everybody expected it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe a slimline PS3. What happened there?
I understand Sony's plan of attack here. I don't expect them to drop a price now. I think they'll wait until some blockbusters are going to come out. Maybe wait for Uncharted to come out. Maybe wait for a big multi-platform to come out. Maybe especially in the holiday season.
Yeah, the current forecast is that they would probably need to price drop at Tokyo Game Show as well.
That could happen as well. I mean, they are a Japanese company, so they probably have the bigger announcements in their home territory.
All right, so what was your favorite of the E3?
I already told you. My favorite for the Sony part is definitely Uncharted. I think Uncharted and God of War 3 is by far the games that I am most excited about. In Microsoft, the other Halo games might be cool. Project Natal was interesting, but you didn't really see how that would work. So I'm still kind of like in the dark of that. Nintendo is a little boring, but you know, the games that they come out with are going to be fun, you know. For parties, Nintendo.
They don't need to do a big splash. They're good where they
are.
Fine.
I mean,
they're rolling in cash.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was working for Nintendo so I could just sit back and relax.
I don't think they're relaxing. I'm just saying, they're not working as hard as Microsoft and Sony. I guess.
But I just want to say I am excited about what Sony did. I mean, they didn't stray away from the games. They showed games.
There was no talk about video download service. There was no talk about They weren't hyping up their Blu-ray player. I think it's already substantial enough that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's already the standard, so they don't need to go there. I mean, I don't really care about their numbers. I mean, I don't care if Sony's in third place. That's for the forums, for people to debate and all that stuff, or argue. I don't care if they only have 22.5 million worldwide. I care about the games that they're coming out.
Right.
You know? And I care about the games that 360 is going to come out. So I'm just a gamer, and the better the games are coming out, then yeah, all for it, man.
Excellent. Well, I want to know if you agree with me on this. It's kind of interesting how Microsoft and Sony have switched more or less roles this E3. For example, Microsoft, for a good part of their conference, they talked about their Zune integration,
mm-hmm.
Twitter, mm-hmm. Facebook.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I could care less. Just give me the games.
Exactly.
I want the games.
It seemed like they switched with Sony because I believe last year Sony was all into that stuff, bringing their video download service, and
right.
A lot of their commercials following that was just, hey honey, this is a PlayStation 3. I'm watching a Blu-ray. No,
well, I think it's really hard for Sony. I think they just have so much to cover. I mean, their Blu-ray player, their online store, home, all that stuff. I mean, just concentrate on the games, man. Just give me the games and everyone will be happy.
Yeah, and they did that this year.
Oh, yeah, they did.
I mean, Microsoft's trying to... their Twitter and Facebook and Zune integration, I think it's just an indirect counterattack, or...
I wouldn't say a counterattack.
No, not a counterattack, more or less maybe a response to people saying, well, we can do all that on the PS3's internet browser. We don't need those proprietary programs.
Right, and I love it. Dude, I'll watch Hulu. I mean, I'll watch my movies right on my PS3. It's amazing.
Minus 1 point for YouTube XL, though. That they need to work out the kinks.
Yeah, they need to do that. That thing is awful.
All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Lessons in Gaming PlayStation Podcast. See you guys at the forums, and a special shout out to Mnemonics, Sandman version 2, a special one to Hanris, and Derek77, aka God120. Welcome back to the forums. Of course, if you guys are new to the podcast, you can join us at element7x.com/forums, and that's 7 the word. I'll catch you guys later.